Where were we? Where are you? Ah, oh yes. Let me sit down next to you. Tell me, Shotzi, is it true what they say about the way you people are gifted? Oh, it's true. It's true. It's true. It's true.
When Liberty Valance rode to town, the women folk would hide, they'd hide. When Liberty Valance walked around, the men would step aside. Because the point of a gun was the only law that Liberty understood. When it came to shooting straight and fast, he was mighty good. From out of the east, a stranger came, a law book in his hand. Oh, man. The kind of a man the West would need to tame a troubled land. 'Cause the point of a gun was the only law that Liberty understood. When it came to shooting straight and fast, he was mighty.
Well, I guess we make
sure. We're doing this, I guess we're doing this.
So hi and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. So
hi and welcome.
I am the one who is goodly talking.
Uh-huh. He's still the one.
No, this is not a country song.
So you... So just to let everyone in podcast land know.
Yes.
Andrew is 80% proficient as the only language he knows. Just letting you guys know that.
I never claimed to be perfect at anything.
Andrew, you've spoken one language now for... damn near 30 years.
No. 29. We're not
all right. All right, fine. You've done it for 25 years, because I'm assuming the first three you were just rock solid. I know you're working your way backwards. This is like some Benjamin Button type thing, but only for how good you speak English.
Sorry, goodly.
Sorry, goodly. How is this bad at English? It's still my question.
It takes a lot of practice.
No, it doesn't.
You've
had a lot of practice your entire life. The only other language you know is Donde Esta La Biblioteca. And you're not even sure if that's right. That's just a thing you heard on Community once. And you're praying that that's close. That's it. Stop playing that song in your head. What are we here? What do we do here? Douglas is falling asleep as we speak, so we need to get his review done quickly. Douglas Robinson.
So this week,
yes.
Damien wanted us to talk about the 1952 Western directed by Fritz Lang, starring Marlene Dietrich, called Rancho Notorious. Because, and I quote Damien in his email, we need to stop with these crime movies.
Tired of it.
A young man is full of adventure and eager to do what he can. He may be a joy, but don't send a boy to do the work of a man.
Marlene the Magnificent. It was hard for a man to look at her and keep to the rules.
That was for trying.
But Damien, I posit to you that this is possibly the most crying a movie has ever been. It opens with a man in love with a woman.
Yes.
The woman dies very quickly, which usually doesn't prompt crying movies. Yeah. Right? There's lots of stuff that happens. But for the next 90 minutes of this movie, he does nothing but cry and wince his face at people when he looks at them going, you are... probably the person that did it.
Wait, hold on. Does he wink his face at people? Wince. Oh, wince.
I said wince.
Alright, fine.
80%.
That's acceptable. Yeah. Possible. But Damien, I think I want us to approach this a little bit differently today.
Sure.
I don't want you to review this movie.
Alright.
I want to interview you about your experience while watching this movie.
Wait, was this a movie you have seen? You had seen?
No, before? I hadn't seen it before.
Okay,
good.
Okay, so I played this movie. Let's start off with you know, the money question, the one that everybody wants to know. Right. Did you like this movie?
Yes, I did.
Okay,
a lot.
Of course you did. Mm-hmm. And the reason was it's a Western. It's not a crying movie, correct?
I liked it because it was a twist on what typical Westerns are.
Ah, okay, great.
I think it was a crying movie.
Yes, essentially. Yeah. I know Angel loves this movie because they're singing in there.
So hold on, we'll get there. We'll get there, right? We'll get there. But listen,
and there's a lot of tears.
This is my interview.
Oh, I'm sorry.
All right, you don't ask the questions. You answer the questions.
Very sorry.
All right.
It won't happen again.
You have to be like Lil Wayne. You don't ask questions, okay?
Tiny Rick.
Oh, that was great. So Damien, we've established that you really like this movie.
Right. It is in no way colored by the fact that it is a Western.
Okay, alright. No way colored by the fact that it is a Western.
On its own merits,
okay. Okay. Great. Great. So but you did enjoy, you have to admit that you did enjoy the lasso throwing and the spur jangling and the general yee-hawing that was occurring.
That does help.
Okay. I want to get into some serious territory here.
Right.
Hey, Charlie Rose.
Huh?
Hey, Charlie. How are you doing?
I'm good. But so Damien.
Yes.
I put it to you.
Yes.
That while so this is a Western and you said that it kind of it goes against the normal sort of Western tropes.
In a couple of significant ways.
A couple of significant ways. So Damien, I need to ask you this question, and it's very important. Do you realize that this movie is really a musical?
In some ways, yes.
Damien, do you realize that from start to finish, there is a man what is singing.
He's sing narrating
the movie.
Sing narrating the movie.
Yes.
Nara singing the movie. Makes even less sense.
Narcy singing. This man is singing his heart out.
Right. And things that you can clearly see happen. Like, he's not singing things that are in the future. He's singing about what he just saw. I had a smile on my face every time he did that. Because it's so ridiculous.
Damien.
No, I wonder who that was for. Like, I was asking myself. Alright, in 1950. Did you have to, like, wake up the crowd? They're like, alright. If we're not going to put gun shooting in this, we have to keep the women folk entertained. Let's have this man sing the thing you just... Or they had like 19 intermissions through the movie. Where you could go outside and spit. I don't understand what this man is singing about, but I enjoyed it.
So Damien.
It's so stupid.
I need to now understand, because... No, the movie I'm going to talk about, I'm going to ask you about, I don't like, because I'm a regular human being.
Right.
But, so, what is the difference? Why is it that you like this movie, but you don't like, say, The Jets and the Sharks?
The Jets and the Sharks made the significant mistake of dancing.
So it's dancing where you
No, it is... It is where the movie doesn't draw a distinction between real life and fake life. If you're going... No one... So they're having, like, real world fights and whatever. And then they just break out in dance as if I'm supposed to readily accept that this is how the world works.
So, okay. So what you're saying then... And I just want to clarify, because I want to be able to, one, choose movies accordingly.
Right.
And two, laugh at you for the rest of my life.
Understand.
That sing narration or narcissist singing is not the problem.
No, that's not
the problem. The problem is when they cross the line. The line is at dancing, and not just any dancing, because there was mm-hmm. dancing in this. You know, it is when
he watches step up movies.
Exactly, mm-hmm. he does watch step up movies. So it is when the hips move to the motion of narcissist singing. Yeah. Is that what it is?
So in 500 Days of Summer, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a point where he full on breaks out in
yes.
that. But the movie makes it clear that is in his head. That is not the world that he lives in. That is just a thing he's doing because he's happy, but didn't really happen. And more significantly, it happens at one time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm able
this
to...
This is sounding like a Babadook conversation.
Right. It is easy to go, all right, I'll give you a pass. It's one time. Because believe me, I was not entertained by him dancing on the street. Movie, come the fuck on. I know people will throw the Disney movies, the animated movies at me. Like, they're singing and dancing and that shit. Yeah, but a lot of them start talking lions and shit. Right?
Mermaids.
Sure. Beauty and Beasts and cubs and all sorts of shit. So that's a cartoon. You can do anything you want in a cartoon. But in, like, it really does annoy me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure I told you the story. It is not a thing that I chose to not like. I was born this way.
Hold on. I'm trying to find the Kleenexes.
Yeah.
Because I think we're about to get into Oprah territory yeah. here. So,
yeah.
So Damien, let it all out.
Right.
Come on.
I saw my mother watching a Western recently. Or not so recently. And at some point, people just started singing. And she had a violent reaction.
Can you tell me which Western it was?
I don't remember. But all I know is that she has a strict zero tolerance policy. If you think you're going to dance in her Western, and it is not at a bar where music is playing and everyone is dancing, if you think you're just going to come up with some nonsense and dance your way through this movie, you're going to go unwatched forever.
I think we have to band together
mm-hmm.
and pick musicals for the next 3 months.
But I'm just not going to watch that. Like, even if I power through them, I'm just going to come here and go, I don't like any of this. Like, you tried this already with what is supposedly the best one of them.
No.
Right? West Side Story is one of them.
I tried and was quite successful.
Mm-hmm.
Because Phantom of the Fucking Paradise
right.
is the best musical
all right, fine.
Ever.
Fine. But a lot of them aren't that, are they?
No, this is
it's
true.
Like saying, Damien, all horror movies don't suck. You like Trick or Treat? All right, fine. Word.
Damien's not all Western side going.
Right, you found the exception. Yeah, you found the exception.
Okay, well, that's Damien,
cool.
I think we had a great conversation mm-hmm. today. Right. Thank you very much for coming. You know, just get the fuck out.
Yeah.
So bye, bro.
Glued on. It's impressive.
What else do you have to talk about?
Yes, you did not like this movie.
I wouldn't say I didn't like this movie.
Because it was a crying movie.
No, I wouldn't
understand,
say I didn't like
you wanted
this movie,
a Western.
But this movie was...
And there was no rootin' tootin' or gunshot.
I know, can I tell you? To be frank, that was a problem for me. That's a big problem for me. I wouldn't say I didn't like this movie, right? This movie was just... something that passed the time. It wasn't the worst movie in the world, but it definitely wasn't something that I'd probably watch again or recommend to people. It promised me revenge.
Mm-hmm.
It promised me some serious mm-hmm. John Wayne levels
right.
of my girl done got killed.
You expected some Korea.
No, you have not.
You
right? And...
You're a bad brother.
You blamed him and called him a
yes.
bad brother the whole
yes.
time.
But now we've been doing it long enough. Douglas is busy. He doesn't have time. Right? You have to you have time. Curate his. Don't allow him to wallow in Netflix squalor. Give him good movies.
I shall wallow in my own squalor.
No,
thank
you
very much.
Look, I'm Metal Gear Solid. I don't have any time for this.
All right, that's a perfect. I can't. can't argue this.
But busy. Yeah, as I was saying, I was promised rootin' tootin', gun shooting, revenge, Korean,
like, all sorts of craziness, right?
And
was confused.
It was disappointing that he didn't quite get there. But you saw that they did it in kind of this roundabout cartoony way. And that was a little bit just dumb and annoying. This movie just never quite got me. The whole, you know what? I didn't mind when he was, well, first of all, I think this is just something that I missed, but there was a connection when he made, the connection between Chocolate and what was her name? Alta Reed?
Alder.
Yeah.
All right.
The lady.
Yeah, the lady. He made that connection, and I don't remember. Whatever. I don't remember that connection being presented to him. So when he was just like, "All right, fine, I'm not looking for Chocolate anymore. I'm looking for this woman." Mm-hmm. I was like, "Excuse me, how did you get there?"
Didn't you hear the narrator sing the explanation?
Don't pay attention to narcissism, okay? But so. That was weird. However, when he was trying to find her, you know, the stories and the flashbacks, those were okay. Those were fun to watch, especially the one where she was horse riding.
Yes,
that was great.
That is impressive. That is where I realized what this movie was going to be.
Yeah,
I realized, oh, this is not a revenge movie at all.
No, it's not. But here's a problem with this movie. It doesn't commit. You need to commit either to a hardcore, I am revenge, I am Clint Eastwood, and you are Unforgiven.
Mm-hmm.
Or it needs to commit to, guys, this is like the goofiest, just dumbest, just funniest shit. And we'll get there, but enjoy the ride. And it really was neither of those. It never quite fit into the box. And it never quite pulled either one, which it tried to do both of. Mm-hmm. It never pulled off either one properly. And I think that's kind of why I was just like, you know what? Sure, mm-hmm. It's not the worst movie in the world, but I don't really care about it.
Cool. Mr. Robinson. Andrew, 80% Robinson. I know you love this movie.
Are you certain?
I'm 100% certain.
Are you willing to bet some Metal Gear?
I'm willing to.
Metal Gear photons?
Yes. I will give away anything that you want on my base. If you can look at me and tell me you didn't like this movie.
I didn't love this movie.
Swish.
I'm very much in the same vein of Douglas. It was a movie where I was okay with it. I didn't hate it. But nothing about it jumped out at me. Even the singing bits where, like, I was sitting there and I'm like, how did Damien pick a narrated Western? Like,
you don't seem to understand. Every time that voice came in, mm-hmm. I laughed so hard because I was like, oh my goodness, Damien picked
a
musical.
The joke that he picked on, mm-hmm. because, first of all, there was some racism in Douglas's comedy.
Oh my goodness.
Then when you heard Chocolate mm-hmm. and the song about Chocolate, because mm-hmm. of the tone of his voice,
mm-hmm.
he then decided to go down the road of Chocolate Rain.
It sounded to me at first. I heard the road or something like mm-hmm. that to the the legend of mm-hmm. I heard Chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, what? Who is this Chocolate person that we're talking about?
It's pretty good. I too laughed every time I heard the man sing.
I appreciate, because this is the first time I'm actually seeing a film with Marlena Dietrich. I appreciate it. Like, I finally see where the mm-hmm. Madeline Kahn joke came from, even though I didn't think I needed it. because I already kind of got the joke, but cool. I'm happy to watch another Fritz Lang film. I think this is probably the fifth of his I'm seeing at this point. I love his movies. But this one was just kind of meh. Like, it's okay is all.
So the thing I enjoyed about this movie is that it wasn't your typical Western. The singing was one, because that rarely happens. The constant use of flashbacks is another. That also doesn't happen. But most importantly, this is one of the very few, and I mean very few Westerns, that has a female lead that does anything other than fan herself and get kidnapped. If there's women in Westerns, we know they're set dressing, essentially. Even if they speak, you understand that they aren't there to do anything except be pretty in the corner. Because it's a Western. It's about men and shooting things. And she is the focal point of the movie. She is the one that comes up with the plans, and she does all this thing in the background, and all the men essentially, you know, work to service her, essentially. God damn it, Douglas. God damn it.
It's hard, dude, man. It's hard not to make him laugh. You know it, right?
Like, as it came out of my mouth, I'm like, Jesus, Damien, why? Douglas is right there. You can see him. And you still said it. Like a child.
What services are
they were there? They were there to work it. Like Missy Elliott said.
Is it weird that when there was the one scene you saw them actually working on the ranch, and you saw the main guy breaking in a horse, that, like, just watching that act, because oddly enough, you don't see that often in Westerns, where you're actually watching them do that act, breaking in a horse. And it brought back my memory to this documentary from, like, 4 years ago plus, called Buck, which is actually about the breaking in of horses and how it's detrimental to the horse and all of his progressive ways of training horses to be in tune with the people horse. And stuff. I'm like,
he's a hippie. Dirty, dirty hippie.
And, like, as I was watching it, where you saw, like, the horse all the way down, and so I just feel like, oh, that kind of sucks.
No, Andrew. You're coming at this... You're Andrew, supposed to watch Westerns first, then some work. Hippie horse breaking in where he whispers to the horse or whatever it does. Rub it gently with a brush. I don't know. Who cares?
Look,
it's a wild animal. You have to treat it as such. Right? You have to let it know who's boss.
You don't like it when people see in your movies. Leave me alone.
Right?
Unless they sing ironically.
And sing about things you just like, literally just.
I feel like the only comparison I can think of movie wise, no, for this movie specific to the Narcy singing is something up. There's Something About Mary.
I forgot that.
That's pretty good. It's a pretty good call.
Yeah, like the band just over there.
Yeah.
It would have been awesome if you just saw, like, every time he sang, you just, they just pan over. Some guy randomly singing in the corner. That's stupid.
I haven't watched that movie in a little while. I need to watch it again. I used to love that movie.
I assume I might not like that movie.
I know, right?
Like, of
course. I watched Zoolander the other day.
Of course, this movie being a Western helps. Helps a lot. Because I love Westerns. Like, the setting is a big draw for me. So,
Metal Gear Horse.
Don't touch Jesus. Afghanistan might as well be the Wild West. It's so good. Stop. Alright, no. Let's not talk about Metal Gear. Yeah, but just watching it do the things that most Westerns don't do was impressive. Especially when you realize that this is from the 50s. It's not like some new person that's like, I am going to change the way everyone thinks about Westerns. This person just had a story to tell. And told the story, and you're like, oh yeah, that's not like any other Western. And so I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it for that reason. And the performances were, by Western standards, for the trillions that I've seen, they're good. They're not the best. They're far, far away from the worst. So yeah, I enjoyed it. I was, like, when the movie started and I saw Revenge, I went, all right, Western, let's do this. And then I saw all the guys turn back and they're like, this is as far as we go. I'm like, all right.
Exactly.
All right.
You know, I thought this was going
to
be great.
Going to go fuck shit up, yeah. And then the movie's like, no, Damien.
It's time to cry.
Yeah.
Is it cry? Yeah, it's a cry in Western. First, which is why I thought Andrew was going to love it.
And then, yeah.
Like, this is the one Western I haven't seen. Turns out there's a good reason for it. There's crying in this. But I like it. I get a lot.
Look,
and I love the name. Can I tell you one of my favorite things about westerns is watching how a director tells people to act when they get shot. It is the best. There's some right. I love the elaborate ones. The ones where they're like 19 poses and they crumple slowly and then drop and expand. And roll.
Do you enjoy gangster movies as well then?
Yes, Andrew, yes. Yeah, yes.
They're even better in those.
Right, but you see, because there's a lot of shots in that, like people are getting multiple shots. So there's kind of explanation as to why they keep moving around. It's a dumb one, but at least there's one. But in westerns, you get a shot. Bang. Oh. And then they step back, fall on their knees. Roll into a ball and light up the dirt.
Yeah. Well, and then sometimes there's just a final rattle. Just right. Like a,
Thank you, Wester.
Have I made you watch the Wild Bunch yet?
No, I don't think I'm going to watch
to the town of Outfield rode a stranger one fine day. Hardly spoke to folks around him, didn't have too much to say. No one dared to ask his business, no one dared to make a slip. The stranger there among them had a big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. It was early in the morning when he rode into the town.
Everybody come quick! Something's happened! No time to explain!
Alright, so there's something I want to talk about.
Yes.
I was listening this past week to a recording by, why can't I remember his name now?
Some dude.
Total Biscuit, right?
The fuck is that? Oh, is never that? Mind.
It's a video
YouTube,
game.
YouTube now.
YouTube video game guy. And he was talking about the idea of, especially in video games, people always wanting their... People always wanting what they imagine the game to be exactly what they get, right? People always being upset at surprises. Not so much as like spoiler surprises, but just general, the way stories will shift and the way you will kind of move. So take, for example, movies that we watch nowadays, things like Cabin in the Woods, where it looks one thing, but it kind of shifts in a completely different direction.
Holy shit, this
and
is
everyone
awesome.
Is taking on a ride. And he kind of even stretched it over into movies a little bit to talk about trailers, right? And about the spoilery nature of trailers in themselves.
I think John Wick was the best trailer.
Like a certain Mockingjay movie that promised me.
I'm getting there, Damon.
Some things.
I'm getting there, Damon. Give me a moment. But not so much movies that, as I said, shift in a complete opposite direction. But movies that stick directly to what the trailer tells you.
Yeah.
One of the big examples and one of the trailer that everyone complained about this past summer was the Terminator trailer, where there was a big plot point that obviously no one had any idea of going in, that the trailer just handed it to you.
This is what the movie is.
Right? And he talks about this idea that all the companies that actually do, for not talking about the Edgar Wright movies or the Fincher movies where they do their own thing,
right?
All those separate companies that get
that
to do the marketing,
out these trailers, right?
They have their own formula as to how to manipulate people and how to market these things and how to make trailers the most effective for sales purposes, right? And it's almost a reason as to why so many trailers feel the same as it relates to like moving piece to piece
in a world.
And as I said, in video games, people seem to always be super angry the minute there is that shift. There is a 50-50 shot in movies that if the shift happens, people will be angry or happy, right? I was wondering, because we're still, even though Damon will see Batman the movie number 5 and we go, I don't need to watch a trailer.
I'm good.
We're still watching trailers for the most part. Right?
Unfortunately.
Is there a point at which... Not so... Because we almost watch it as our own entertainment value. Mm-hmm. We're almost gauging a movie as to what...
Yeah.
Like its market value at this point. Maybe it's because of the Fantasy League.
Probably.
Maybe it's not. Right? But we're just generally doing whatever with it. But is there a point where we can look at these marketing tools and stop deciding to look at them as actual gauges for movies, but as just marketing itself? Can people be surprised and still sell a movie?
I mean, the thing is, like, the biggest movies, movies that make all of the money, usually, with the exception of friggin' Avatar, which both those movies, that and Titanic, are anomalies. That's why they make $400 billion.
And Jurassic World.
No, Jurassic World was traded on the Jurassic franchise. Avengers was traded on the Marvel franchise. Like, all the biggest movies are these franchises. And if we look at the trailers, most of the trailers tell you, even like the Jurassic, I remember the Jurassic World trailer. That trailer told me literally everything that happened in them. They didn't leave out anything. And you go, well, the movie's more of this. And it's like, even the Avengers trailer, even though people were like, oh, he had the Pinocchio song in the first trailer, like, you saw all the shit that was going. A robot attacks them and they fight it. Like, that is, there's nothing to, like, given what the marketers have to work with, they're either going to be super obscure and annoy people, like what J.J. Abrams does, or they're just going to go, look, this, like, we're just trying to get people excited. Yeah. And anything we show them will get people excited, right? The Batman trailer went the opposite way, and people lost their shit for that first Batman versus Superman trailer. Everyone's like, this looks boring and rare. And then they put out a real trailer, and everybody, like, instant U-turn. They're like, oh yeah, they're going to fight. Of course they're going to fight. Look, it's dumb. Everybody gets excited again. Right? So if we just have to understand that trailers aren't really targeted to us. In fact, no aspect of movie except the actual finished product aren't targeted to people like us, because we're lunatics. We spend more time thinking about movies than regular people. Regular people go to the theaters and then they sit down when they're not staring at their phone, and then they see shiny objects and money thrown at the screen, and they go, yeah, I want to see that because there's explosions and shit, and he's in it, and that happens. And then they go to the movie and they're like, all right, explosions, he's in it, and that happens. And then they come home and like, it's the best movie ever. So it's like, we did this to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's our fault for wanting too much and for expecting too much. We, like, having a trailer tell us everything in the movie, we find that detriment, because we want to go in and experience something fresh. You don't want the movie to be spoiled, because you want something more out of the movies. But Gen Pop doesn't care about it. They want what the trailer promised them and just more of it.
But at the same time, Gen Pop is the area of the world where I can never stop hearing "don't spoil the movie for me" as a conversation point.
That is because of the people you're talking to.
Yeah, I don't know,
on
because
the internet.
Can I tell you?
No.
He's talking about
people
he knows and speaks to. But can I tell you something, Andrew?
And these are the same people who watch the trailers over and over and stop frame and pause frame them, going like, I know Superman is there.
Right, but those people are lunatic. Like, those people are us. Those people are we don't take it that far. We're not free streaming shit. But the people who you're talking to on the internet are complaining.
It's not internet people.
I'm not talking
about
the internet right now.
Oh, you're talking at just
real people.
Oh,
like,
right. I've never met these. All right, I'm out.
So funny enough.
All right, I'm out. I don't know.
A lot of the people that, like, I talk to don't. They're like, "What you mean spoil? What?"
Mm-hmm.
I was just I was just telling you what happened at the end of the movie. Yeah. I didn't spoil anything. Who cares? Yeah. So
it's a dumb movie.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there was even a dumb Key and Peele sketch about this whole thing in the last season that just went by, which honestly had me irate because, like, I've actually seen those things happen. And every time, like, I think I'm getting closer and closer to Damien's stance on the whole spoiler thing, where I almost don't care, for the most part, right? Because 9 times out of 10, whatever we're talking about that I haven't caught up on, even if this is really detrimental to my experience, I will forget about this by the time I actually get to the thing that I'm not having seen.
I think...
Also, I've put a whole new bar on these movies and television shows where if me knowing this thing...
Do they sell rum at that bar?
Yes, they do.
Okay.
If
it's a rum bar?
If me being quote-unquote spoiled about this plot point in this movie makes me not like this movie,
it's a shitty movie.
That movie isn't good.
It's garbage.
It's as good as it really is.
Garbage movie. The Signs, I tell you. The Signs. My aunt is sick. She did an operation, so she's staying with us so we can take care of her for a little while. And so I have all of the people that I want to talk to in the world are my hosts, almost 100% of the time. And we were having a conversation about people complaining about shit on Facebook. Because, of course, she's sick, she can't move around a lot. So she's just staring at Facebook all day. A thing that she never really got a chance to do, because she's a real adult that does real work. Now she has nothing but time. And so she's just trying to consume all of Facebook. She doesn't realize it's an endless pit of garbage. With nothing good inside. And at a certain point, she started to become typical Facebook people who are complaining about people complaining on Facebook to real life people who don't care. And my mother had said this gem, which I think we can apply to our trailer situation. Because we don't have real shit to worry about. We then make up nonsense to annoy us. Like trailers. If we had real problems to worry about. Things like the trailer spoiling a movie that you're probably not going to see because you're too busy fixing whatever problem you have in your life. Wouldn't matter to anybody. But in lieu of that, we complain about things that we don't really, no one really cares about it. Because after you watch a movie, then didn't matter anyway. Like,
Damien, you're definitely right. This is dumb shit I'm complaining about. I really
It's not just you. Like, I remember I used to get upset over football shit. And then one day I woke up and realized, wait a second, Damien. They get paid millions of dollars to kick a ball into a net. You have to go to work 40 hours a week. Like, you don't have time for this shit. You wasting time being angry at these guys. Like, that is all it is, a waste of time. And so you slowly... I think this is just brush internet, right? Yeah. Brush your shoulders off.
But you see what...
I'm hoping, and I really am hoping this, that because most of the world is just being introduced to the internet, I'm hoping that in 10, 15 years, there'll be some equilibrium where everybody's like, oh yeah, it's just the internet. Like, it's just this thing. It's just a tool that gets me to do.
Yeah,
to do shit. Because when I
mobs won't escalate things. No, they won't.
When I think about Damon, when we just got the internet.
In 10 years, there will be a website called Find Me and Kill Me.
I remember when I just got the internet. I spent all of my time on the internet.
Oh, like, yeah, I remember.
It was
that.
Just
oh,
non-stop internet.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah. And then over time, it got less and less until now. Like, the internet is the thing I watch sports on.
Yeah.
It is the thing I check news on, and it is the thing that gets me media. Like, I don't spend the whole day staring at the internet like when I just got it. Like, 4chan still exists, but I haven't been there in like 1,000 years.
I was never a 4chan guy.
You shouldn't be. It's a place for monsters.
I was an IRC guy.
Yeah, though. Everyone. Right, you just spent all that time.
And a dig guy.
Staring, yeah. Time. Remember when all you did was just stare at the internet?
Yeah.
That is what most people are doing now because they've just gotten it. But we've had it for so long that we now know what the internet is good for. And we know what the internet is 100% not good for. I don't want any part of that. And you guys are still caught up because you engage in Twitter and Facebook to some extent. But even that, you guys keep at arms. Like, you guys, I've never come here and for the entire night just had you guys staring at your phones like, scroll. But I know we all know people like that.
Yeah.
Right? But that is...
This is actually one of the most infuriating things about...
But we were those people.
But here lies the thing, like, I don't think it's an issue if, like, it's your time and you're, that is what you spend with your next 30 minutes or an hour or 5 hours or whatever. Just like you play Metal Gear for 80 plus hours.
That didn't happen.
But if, like, we are in a room sitting together and you are just like this for the hour that I'm here,
I think
that is where I get...
I think that's unfair. Because if you could... If we could teleport this technology back to 1995 when we got the internet, can you imagine what we would do if we had portable computers on us at all times?
I don't remember.
I don't remember what we would do, not on this little time that we've had with it so far, but the fact that we were children.
Oh yeah, of course. And I don't remember how you were when you got yours, but I remember the first time I finally got a smartphone. I got an iPhone.
Huh.
Andro, I was on it 24/7.
People didn't exist.
Yeah, I was like this.
No, with me, like, the first smartphone I got was the Galaxy Nexus, which I bought. I was in Trinidad. And I didn't know people to talk to. So it's not like I had an excuse to not look at my screen, right? But I put so much effort into making sure that I didn't have to look at the screen when I was in public, unless I was making a phone call, writing a text, or Googling the one thing that I needed to Google for that 1 second, right? Because the minute that I'm in a public space and I'm playing a game like this, I feel like someone is going to see me and is going to be like, oh, look, that dude on his fucking smartphone, not engaging with the world.
All right.
I will have the Bluetooth-est headphones so that at the very least, even if I'm not caring about anyone, it doesn't look like...
Like,
I feel guilty if I'm in a room like that.
I understand what you're saying. But the Game Boy didn't become popular for no reason. Like, the Game Boy was massively popular.
We had an original Game Boy.
For a reason. Because people wanted to play games when they were away from their TV. That is why that thing sold a kajillion, right? And it wasn't just to children. Like, we like to think that, oh, we only acted that way back then because we were children. But adults have real money to spend. Adults buy most of the shit. So, it is just, I'm hoping, and I'm not saying I'm right, but it is the most sincere hope I have for the world. That in 20 years' time, everyone will just go, oh yeah, you're right, the internet is where... watch porn when I go home, talk to people when I'm not at home, and when I have enough free time, look at shit. And then outside of that, it's just like, it is just this thing that constantly annoys me, and
no,
I ignore it.
No, no, you forgot the most important thing. There is football.
Yeah, right, watch, right, so.
Look at shit.
Mm-hmm, look at shit when you have football. Right, sports. Right. Oh, look, sports. And then you go, I have worse. Right. There was a time I couldn't be off the internet.
No, it's true. Yeah.
Like, at all. You just want... Because you believe you could consume all of it.
If you weren't on some weird forum, you were on ICQ or MSN or just
one
weird
one last thing. That, and this is, like, part of the reason I'm hopeful that this is going to happen. Google's number one search, year in, year out, for the last 100 years, is Facebook.com. Because people don't know how to use the internet. Like, for a lot of people, the internet is Facebook. They type facebook.com into Google, And then the first result, of course, is Facebook.
Do you know
they
what
hit that, and then they're done.
You know what is, you know what I find really annoying? We have to do this. I have to close that. So when you open Chrome now on your mm-hmm. phone, you get this page,
yeah.
right? This looks like a Google search,
yeah.
but this is really your address bar. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is.
yeah. I don't mind
that.
Because
though.
Google,
yeah.
Andrew, if your number one search year in, year out is Facebook.com, then you might as well just trick them into typing that in and then bringing them to the result that they want. Google is trying to make it frictionless. Instead of you having to click an extra thing, just type Facebook and we'll do the rest. Mm-hmm. We know where you're going. And
like
but that's
I'm
because,
lucky.
Right. But that's because we understand how the internet works because we've had it forever. But a lot of people still don't. Like, there's people who don't understand how search works because they don't use it. When you set it, when they're like, how far away is this? And you're like, just search for it in Google. Don't ask me. I don't care. Google has the answer. And they just stare at it like, what? Can you search for it for me? And they still ask you because, of course, they don't know. But hopefully, because now literally everyone has a phone and everyone has the internet. So in 20 years' time, it will just be understood that this is just how we operate. I'm praying that it comes. Because if in 20 years it's still this nonsense, I'm going to be very upset. Right? Like smartwatches, people are like, smartwatches will be the future. And everyone took one look at that shit and went, no. People bought them. How many smartwatches have you seen?
I've seen a bunch.
Right.
Yeah.
In comparison to phones?
Oh well,
right.
Yeah. I bought a smartwatch.
You're an idiot.
I was wondering because I saw that there. I'm like,
no, but
really?
It's for a specific reason. I want to start going jogging, mm-hmm. and I don't want to do the horseshit where you have your phone strapped
to
your thing.
Fitbit
no,
or a proper watch?
I bought like a Sony thing mm-hmm. because they're only, based on my research, there are only two. Maybe it's more than two, but I found mainly two smartwatches that actually have storage that you can put mm-hmm. music on.
Yeah.
One was the Samsung
Gear
Live S,
something,
which,
yeah.
whatever. I just got a.
It also has a camera on it.
I know, right? And it's rather expensive.
Yes, because they built a phone
exactly,
into a watch.
Exactly.
Because they're idiots.
The other one is a Sony. That is mm-hmm. was like $200 mm-hmm. and I was like at $5.
Right, but it plays. You can send
exactly.
music to here.
And that's exactly what I wanted for. I put it on like a watch mm-hmm. and while I'm walking or jogging, I will be listening to music and that's it.
Sony has a headset.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's just regular earphones
mm-hmm.
That you put the music in that. And
oh,
it is
okay.
waterproof and I think it's about $70.
If I knew about
I
that,
think
I'd
the problem
that.
Was
but then at least
they offered that
stuff.
Right they offered that and I think like it was constantly sold like Sony just assumed no one would buy it
mm-hmm.
and so like Amazon is like oh yeah you can order this and get it in 6 weeks no Amazon I'm a pre-order I want it today you understand that but I just really really don't want this to continue like I have a niece and she there was a time we were like, oh, she's going to be annoying when she grows up because, and you know, she's going to keep asking you questions. And then, but we forgot that, no, it is 2015. She's just going to take every tablet and phone that she sees. As soon as one dies, she just marches and demands the one from someone else. And all day. Like, you have to take it from her and then she like looks around like, what just, why are you guys doing this to me? Thought you guys loved me. Why are you taking this from me? I want to talk to any of you. I want to play. She can't read. She's downloading apps. It's scary. Hopefully, it will be less scary. I mean, VR will fix this, right?
She probably has a better English grade than me.
She definitely does.
Anyways, I guess that's it for now.
The unnamed tech cast.
It's the unnamed tech social podcast. Movies
that
are
Asian
kind of thing.
Rancho, I really like. Oh, yeah, no, the name is.
I love that
name. It's a type of name for the movie, the lighthearted movie
yeah.
that he could have been.
Big Bad John. Nobody seemed to know where John called home. He just drifted into town and stayed all alone. He didn't say much, he was kind of quiet and shy. And if you spoke at all, you just said hi to Big John. Somebody said he came from New Orleans, where he got in a fight over a Cajun queen, and a crashing blow from a huge right hand sent a Louisiana fella to the promised land, Big John. Big Bad John. Then came the day at the bottom of the mine when a timber cracked and men started crying. Miners were praying and hearts beat fast, and everybody thought that they'd breathed their last, except John. Through the dust and the smoke of this man-made hell walked a giant of a man that the miners knew well, grabbed a sagging timber and gave out with a groan, and like a giant oak tree just stood there alone, Big John. Big Bad John. And with all of his strength he gave a mighty shove. Then a miner yelled out, "There's a light up above," and 20 men scrambled from a would-be grave. Now there's only one left down there to save, Big John. With jacks and timbers they started back down. Then came that rumble way down in the ground, and the smoke and gas belched out of that mine. Everybody knew it was the end of the line. Thank you.